Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop all your texts, all of your voicemails, anything you got for us. Hit us up there at 331-979-1369. Went through some of your voicemails and some of your text messages on yesterday's episode. It was kind of cool. Like, during this dead period of the NBA, it's been fun to take some of your hypotheticals and things that have been outside of the box have been a lot of fun to talk to you guys about. And also, too, we're getting a lot of reaction from fans to post these episodes. So we appreciate everybody that's been leaving us questions, leaving us voicemails all offseason long. I promise you, we are crawling closer and closer to basketball coming back once again. And I know a lot of people are excited with the NFL returning as well. The MLB season kind of winding down. If you're a Cubs fan, you're still paying attention to the playoffs. And if you're a White Sox fan, you're still drowning in misery. So with that, Matt, how you doing? And what's going on?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to some weekend football action. Bears got another preseason game on deck Saturday where we'll probably see no actual Bears players play, certainly not starters. Had a really riveting Cubs game on Wednesday night. Thriller back and forth against the Giants. It was a lot of fun. Just like you said, man, just trying to fill our insatiable thirst for sports while we wait for the NBA to come back. You know, like I saw my guys who do digital content at NBC Sports Chicago for the Bulls had a post on Thursday morning about how Isaiah Cannon had signed a deal with some team in China. And I was like, this is when you know that you have hit the August part of the NBA calendar, when this is what we're printing news about. And also beyond that, the fact that the thing that exploded on NBA Twitter over the course of this entire week was Devin Booker behaving in a way that some deemed to be right and some deemed to be wrong in a pickup game in an open gym. That was the biggest headline of the week. But we have to talk about it because Joakim Noah was involved.
What's good? What's good? What's good? Hey. Hey. Let's go baseline. Middle.
Hey, bro, we're not doubling an open gym, bro.
Here we are.
I get that shit all season, bro. Come on, man. Let's work on our game, bro.
Here we are.
Let's work on our game.
Part of the game. Send it.
Running double open
gym. Yep. This is peak NBA offseason. Not only do you get the playing in a lifetime gym or somewhere, wherever the hell that they were playing on video, you get a little snapshot of like a 45 second video, and it's not a workout video because they're playing against each other, but then you get this too. I found it wild though, like as a young player, if you're getting mad that they're double teaming in a pickup game, man, like are you serious? Like, that was my first thought, and I didn't take enough time to go out and tweet and argue with people about that, but my first reaction to this was like, dude, are you serious? You're supposed to be considered like one of the up-and-coming stars of the NBA, and you're getting mad that they're double-teaming working you in a pickup game? Like, come on, dude.
And I mean, that's the hypocrisy that a lot of people were quick to point out, because his, you know, very quick and kind of testy conversation with Joe, the back and forth, and Joe's off camera for the most of it, but you can hear him talking back and forth, is, you know, come on, man, like, like, we're not doubling in this open gym. And Joe Keem's like, yeah, we are. And he's like, no, really? And Joe Keem's like, yeah, we are. And Booker says, come on, man. Like, you know, let's work on our games. And Joe Keem was like, that's part of the game. And because, you know, Devin Booker says, well, you know, I'm getting doubled all season. I just want to, you know, work on my game. If you're getting doubled all season, then maybe work on being double teamed all season. It's people, it's your, you know, your colleagues and your opponent showing you respect. If you deserve a double team, then you should probably practice dealing with double teams. And Booker was like, I just didn't want to spend my nice Tuesday afternoon passing out of double teams, because he responded to a comment on Instagram that Gilbert Arenas said to him that was like, yo, dude, you should demand that people double team you. And yes, that includes practice and pickup, because you should be offended when they don't. Because if you are that good, you think you're that good, then damn right they're going to send double teams at you. So, of course, not only my insane adoration for Joe Keem, who can do no wrong in my mind, I took his side, but also removing myself from that bias as best I could, I still think that it was ridiculous for Booker to complain about it.
It's hilarious. Joakim Noah was the one who called the double team, too, which is...
I know, and the best part is that he sent Tony Snell over to double him.
Oh, don't get it. Meet me at the rim, Tony Snell says.
Wild. Before we're Bulls playing together, fucking Tony Snell. How does he get in a game like that? Real quick, how does Tony Snell get in a game like that?
Hey, man. Important role player on the team that a lot of people picked to win the East last year, and a team that a lot of people are picking to win the East this year. But speaking of, that was one that we didn't get to in mailbag yesterday. I think it was Darian who sent us a screenshot of this amazing stat from Tony Snell,
I
remember this game happening. I don't know if you remember this, but it was 2 years ago, February 24th, 2017. Against the Utah Jazz, Tony Snell, as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, played 28 minutes of a game and posted zeros across the box score. 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0 steals in 28 minutes of basketball.
That is unbelievable. Absolutely
unbelievable. So you better believe he's working on his game in the gym right now.
Snell. Get up or get out the way.
Wow.
Tony Snell said, meet me at the rim if you want to.
Woo. Unreal. The other thing that I wanted to say was, I love hearing Joakim Noah call that out. And that's just like one little tidbit about how good of a defender and like a commander on the court that Joe is. And to me, like, we were talking about this, I think earlier in the week, about whether or not Joakim Noah is going to want to go and maybe sign with the Lakers if they still have interest. They offer him a contract. I mean, if I'm LeBron and Anthony Davis or any guys part of that Lakers team and kind of already know the background on him, I'm like, damn, maybe we do need to seriously consider adding somebody like that. Push our young players. Guy that's not going to fool around, guy that's not going to mess around, that's Joe for you. But for Devin Booker, this is a bad look, man. Like, I don't think he should have gotten absolutely destroyed the way he did on social media, but that's the way that today is.
Yeah, that's mostly just bored NBA fans on Twitter.
Exactly. But my point here is Zach LaVine wouldn't do something like that. My point here is Zach LaVine would not call out of a double team or complain about getting double teamed like this. So I always make that comparison too. I love making that comparison and pissing people off. Is Zach LaVine and Devin Booker's numbers fairly similar?
Your LaVine Booker comp love is just out of control.
I know Devin Booker had a really, really good season last year, but the numbers, man, are staggeringly close. And you put Zach LaVine on that Phoenix Suns team who is terrible. He's putting up 35-40 a night. I can guarantee it.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I understand that Booker might be a little frustrated, because guess what? Like he said, and you could tell in his voice there was some exasperation there, he did get double teamed all season long because he was playing on a piss poor, god awful Suns team where he was the first, second, third, and fourth options. So I can understand the frustration, but it doesn't excuse, in my opinion, the fact that he was being a little salty about it, and it added to a pre-existing kind of reputation that Booker has already started to build for himself around the league, especially with some of the older, more established veterans, as like a young, like hotshot kid who has kind of a bad attitude and think and is like a little too entitled. I'm not saying that I think that about him. I'm saying that I have heard that that reputation has started to form itself for Booker among players in the league, and that look certainly doesn't help that.
Do you kind of agree with what he was saying on Instagram, though? He was like, the whole point of passing out of a double team is to hit my open teammate who's at a 4-on-3. I get that, and that's totally fine. If people were ripping him because he wasn't going to take a shot over a double team or something like that, I find that kind of wild. Like, I get it. He made a bad play and got doubled there and was complaining about it, but the move that he was trying to make to pass out of the double team was the right move. So if people are mad that he wasn't going to try to take a terrible shot over two defenders in the corner, I don't know. And again, like, listen to this. We're talking about a fucking pickup game. After all of this, we're talking about a goddamn pickup game. So, to me, it was wild that people's reaction was the way it was. But, that's Twitter for you today.
After that kind of calmed down a little bit, the next video that went viral was what? Ben Simmons shooting threes in a pickup game. And everyone having an opinion about that. Here's my opinion. There's video of him making a lot of threes in a pickup game. His shot form is still ugly as butt. Not nice butt, ugly butt. His shot is ugly as ugly butt. I guess they're going in, and that's all that matters. But in the less intense defense of pickup games, he was certainly getting a lot of those up that I think might, based on his form, get just shoved back in his face. But see, that's what we're talking about. Because it's late August, and players playing pickup games is all we have to talk.
It's crazy. So if you want to leave your reaction, you can hit us up on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Bulls_Peck, or at Jordan C. Malley, or on a text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Matt, before we get to the other topic that we're going to talk about today, we never discussed this, and I kind of wanted to circle back to it. I know you're not a White Sox fan, but did you catch the broadcast with Bill Walton last Friday when they were in Los Angeles, where him and Jason Benetti did an entire White Sox game together?
So I did not watch the entirety of the game and the broadcast, but I did see lots of bits and pieces of it that made their way onto social media.
Yes! There's a base
hit. We're on our way!
That's your guy, James O'Banner!
If I could have... I love Steve Stone as a broadcaster. Love him, listening to him with games. Him and Jason Benetti do an outstanding job, especially for us suffering Sox fans who, in a lot of those games, were watching blowouts, terrible leads being blown. All of that, they've been fantastic. But I think Jason Benetti and Bill Walton together are phenomenal. They did basketball games, college basketball games last year together as well. But Bill Walton, man, I didn't like him when I first heard him on broadcast when ESPN first brought him on. I was definitely a staunch anti-Bill Walton guy. But man, I've grown to love the guy just because he says the most outrageous things. And when he doesn't know a sport either, like baseball, he had no idea what was going on. And I don't know if that's just Bill Walton or if that's him like playing up his character a little bit more. But he was cheering for foul balls, going absolutely nuts, talking about triple plays when there was two outs. To me, it was the most entertained I had been throughout a White Sox game for 3 hours that I probably will be all season. So if there is anything we can get done is more Bill Walton in different sports, or have Bill Walton come over and do an NBA game or two. I would love to see the Bulls, if they need a fill-in this year again, to have Bill Walton be one of those fill-ins.
Yeah, and like in my opinion, absolutely plug Bill Walton in and kick Kevin McHale out. How many times do we have to listen to Kevin McHale and his boring ass call another basketball game from the color commentary chair? Like, absolutely, I would prefer Bill Walton to Kevin McHale. Bill Walton is a treasure of entertainment.
Kevin McHale is terrible. He's terrible. I'll go back to what he was talking about when the whole blow up with the Bulls thing happened, the player mutiny when he was on NBA TV.
Right.
Shortly after that,
yeah,
we played the clip of it, but called them whiny little brats and all of this. I'm like, Kevin McHale, man, the game has passed you by. The NBA culture has passed you by, man. I think it's time to hang up the shoes, hang up the mic as well, and just move along.
Speaking of people who should get kicked off of that top 50 greatest players of all time list from our mailbag topic the other day, get Kevin McHale the hell out of there. You can leave Robert Parrish and Sam Jones if you want to, in addition to Bird, of course, and John Havlicek and all these Celtics of yesteryear that people are obsessed with. But get Kevin McHale out of there and put Bill Walton in the chair.
Yeah, I'm not a very good catcher. I'm much better at getting high than getting low.
It makes me think of, I want to say it's the movie Little Nicky, which is like one of Adam Sandler's lesser known, less respected comedies after the Billy Madison, yes, Happy Gilmore years, where he's like the son of the devil who has to like go back to Earth to help save his dad. And they get it, like, somehow he's like the guy who's gonna like go shoot the half court shot, but then ends up like getting into a fight with the ref, who's actually one of his brothers who's possessing the ref. And then Bill Walton is in the movie one of the people on the sideline calling the game, and somehow Bill Walton's hair catches on fire amid the chaos of this game, and he like, just stares into the camera and he's like, "And yes, my hair is ablaze." And it's like such a stupid little part of a stupid movie, but I love it so freaking much.
I haven't seen that movie in a minute. That used to be like a regular on TBS. This was before we had streaming services and all of that, but when I was younger, like, TBS would do all of those, like Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and Little Nicky and Airheads, all of the Adam Sandler classics. But yeah, damn, I haven't seen that movie in a minute.
Not gonna lie, I have Little Nicky on DVD.
Do you really? That's awesome.
Now that DVDs are completely obsolete, yeah, I'm pretty sure I still have a DVD copy of Little Nicky somewhere.
It's wild too. Adam Sandler is making 100 times more than he made from any of those films right now with that Netflix deal. But
oh, I'm like, that Netflix is insane. That he's just cranking out movies and specials and shows, and
it's crazy,
man.
But yeah, going back to what sparked this was Bill Walton being on the broadcast. Would love to hear him again. Again, it's tough if you don't stay up. If you're here in the Central Time Zone or if you're in the Eastern Time Zone, it is very difficult to stay up for those Pac-12 games that happen 10 o'clock tip-offs during college basketball, but Bill Walton's usually broadcasted mostly on those. And the teams, I don't even entertain the teams. It's more about just listening to the craziness that Bill Walton talks about, just goes off on tangents. So yeah, if anybody out there listened to the broadcast with Jason Benetti and Bill Walton on the White Sox game last week, it was phenomenal content. But let's get to the last topic we kind of want to talk about today's episode before we wrap it up for the weekend. Matt, you were telling me, and I didn't get a chance to read this in full, but you were telling me that Lauri Markkanen over the weekend did a one-on-one interview with a with an outlet in Finland.
Right. So some media company named Nesti, N-E-S-T-E, that did a Q&A with Lauri about his recent stay at a zero emissions cabin. It's called the NOLA. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. N-O-L-L-A. The NOLA cabin in Finland, which is all about having a camping kind of experience vacation, but it's all, you know, leave no trace, all good for the environment kind of stuff. And because, as Bulls fans have been aware, because of some of his posts on Twitter and Instagram, Lauri Markkanen is very environmentally conscious, and it's like, it's his thing. It's sort of, he has chosen that as his platform, right? I have this platform. This is my cause. You know, Joakim, while he was here with the Bulls, did it about, you know, gun violence and helping the youth of the city of Chicago, Noah's Ark Foundation, all that kind of stuff. Lauri Markkanen has taken it upon himself to be the NBA player who's like, hey guys, remember that the planet is bleeding inside and crying and also on fire all the time? Let's do something about that. Which is, you know, a very noble cause. I can't honestly say, I don't know about you, that I'm very environmentally conscious with my daily behavior and my habits as a consumer, because it really is hard when you start to think about all of the things that you do, water, car exhaust emissions and all that kind of stuff, the food that you eat and how much energy goes into making the food that you eat. I'm awful. Like, I recycle my beer cans, and I'm like, that's my contribution to the environment.
Hey, that's better than most people do. Some people just throw everything in one thing in trash and don't recycle. So, I mean, small steps, right? We all can't make a huge impact because we don't all have the same amount of money that maybe Lauri Markkanen has. But I think it's cool that he is speaking out against this and just trying to make NBA fans more educated about what it means to be a little bit more environmentally conscious. And I know we all can probably do a better job at that, but I thought it's been kind of cool. And he started this since his rookie year too, and still tweets things out and puts things on his Instagram all the time. And I think it gets a lot of reaction too, not just from Chicago Bulls fans, but fans around the NBA. And it's cool to see a young player want to do something besides just what basketball has done or impact what just basketball is doing for people in the United States or for people in the league. He wants to do something that has an effect on everybody, even basketball people that are not basketball fans. So it's kind of cool, like you were talking about with Joakim Noah, and also Derrick Rose too did a lot with his foundations here in the time he spent with the Bulls, and he still does that. So does Joakim Noah. So it's cool. I think it's really cool that Lauri Markkanen's deciding to do this. I don't know if he has a driver's license in the United States or not, but I would assume he's probably cruising around in something like a Tesla, an all-electric type of car.
Yes, he did. So I remember seeing something on social media where it was either last year or his rookie season when he was taking a driver's test, and there were little mini clip videos of Markkanen like with his learner's permit driving around the parking lot of the Advocate Center. So I'm pretty sure he does have his driver's license now, but he's a big advocate for electric cars. He was talking also in this interview about how he would like to someday, you know, bring that same electric energy or some alternative energy to air travel, which is like, I don't know, that's probably a long way into the future before we figure that out. But because he talked about how it's hard to be, you know, in his occupation where you're flying back and forth and back and forth across the country all the time. And he knows, you know, how bad, you know, jet fuel emissions are for the environment. And he's like, it's kind of a shitty part of the job. And also even just all of the consumerism habits that you have when you are traveling on the road. And that's not just NBA players, but anybody who travels a lot for their job, where you're eating on the go and, you know, doing this and take out that and buy the one time use this product and buy one time use that product. A lot of that all is just, you know, right for a landfill. And most people don't think about it on the you know, daily basis. I don't, because it's a really inconvenient thing to think about and a really unpleasant thing to think about. Al Gore, inconvenient truth, right? The planet is dying. It's not really a fun thought. And to me, like, that was the most real but also simple answer that was also really sad that Markkanen gave in this Q&A. One of the questions was, are you afraid of your child's future because of global warming? And Markkanen said simply, yes, I am. So he's, you know, he's doing this for the, you know, for the betterment of the planet, and he's doing this for everyone. But obviously, having a young child like Markkanen does, you start to think about just how long is it going to be before we start to see the effects of this stuff? Because it might be closer around the corner than a lot of people think.
Just like kind of following up to with circling back to Moore's Bulls and basketball related topics from this article specifically. Lauri Markkanen had said that he's been healthy and good all offseason. He's been working hard. Seems like, too, he said that a lot of the young guys that he's checked in and some of the newer players that have signed, like Satoransky and Thaddeus Young, have also been putting in a lot of work. And I know some of these guys are kind of separated, but now over the last couple of weeks have come back. I've heard that a lot of them are practicing at the Advocate Center too already. So that's kind of
hashtag in our building. What?
I wonder if it's going to be brought up in the media day press conferences. You know, we really liked that a lot of these guys were in our building for the majority of the offseason. And for the most part, they're right that most of them were, but Zach LaVine. I always go back to that and wonder if that's like, out of anything that Zach LaVine does, if that's the one thing that irks John Paxson the most, is the fact that he's gone now two off seasons in a row, gone back to Seattle, I think, where he has a big house or where his parents' house is at, and worked through his off season training there, as opposed to being in Chicago all summer long.
Well, guess what? LaVine spent last off season, you know, getting healthy and putting in work and working on his body, being healthy coming off the ACL. Not in the Advocate Center, but on the West Coast. And LaVine just put up a 25-4-4 season without spending the entirety of his offseason in the Advocate Center. So if Paxson does have an issue with that, Paxson can, as one of my favorite people likes to say, Paxson can pound sand.
Pound sand.
The last thing I have on Markkanen here is they were just talking about expectations for Markkanen now being in his third year as a key piece to this rebuilding team that the Bulls are trying to put together. And I found this kind of interesting, and hopefully this plays out more this season when the Bulls, knock on wood, stay healthy, that they're going to be in a lot of really close games. At least I hope they're going to be in a lot of close games. But it says, I have a really high expectation for myself. He said, I'll just focus on myself. He said, I want to I create the most pressure for myself. He said, I focus on the fact that I'm the best version of me at all times. I give myself everything in practice and outside of basketball. I try to make things as good as possible. And he said, after that, there's nothing to explain to others. So he feels like he doesn't have to explain himself to anybody else. He says he puts in the work, not just on the basketball floor, but when he's off as well. It's cool to hear somebody that young talk about where he wants to be, what his focus is, and how he plays better under pressure. I think that's a characteristic I want in a guy that could ultimately be one of the main building blocks of this Bulls rebuild if he turns in to be an all-star type of player, which still kind of remains to be seen, but I think this third year is going to be that turning point to see. But you can tell he's very, very focused on basketball. He's very focused on proving people wrong that might have doubts in him. And he said, anybody out there that's talking about pressure for me, they don't put pressure on me. I put the most pressure on myself. So I like to hear that from him. And obviously, this is all kind of paraphrasing. I got it from a Finland website, from Yle. So it was translated to English. So this was basically the gist of what Markkanen was saying. But I love that. I love hearing things from that from a young player.
It's nice to hear. And you know, even in that other interview, that was primarily about his stay at that cabin in Finland and the environment and all that stuff. They asked him about his off-season regimen in that interview too, and he said, you know, I'm doing a little bit of everything. I'm working on my body. I'm working on the shot. I'm working on my handles. You know, I'm putting focus in a lot of areas to just try and improve my game overall. And obviously Bulls fans loved to see it last offseason when he, you know, put the effort into, you know, hitting the weight room and adding some muscle to his frame, because he was still pretty scrawny as a rookie, not as scrawny as he was at Arizona, but he was still pretty thin. And then he added all that muscle, but then the elbow injury, and all of a sudden some of that muscle weight falls off. So, you know, I think between having a healthy offseason to work on some of this stuff, to develop his game, rebuild up his body a little bit. Cool, like, you know, like you said, like this could be this third season for Markkanen. This could be the breakout year. I know a lot of people say it's not really a breakout year because he has been pretty damn impressive in stretches through his first two seasons already. Like, you know, yeah, there was that amazing month where he averaged 26 and 12. But can he have a fully healthy season where he plays close to 82 games? And can he have that leap where he is a 20 and 10 threat every night? Because all of the pieces are in a row, and the health is there, the work he's done in the offseason is there. It's just a question of whether or not he and we will be lucky enough to see that realized. And I think, you know, odds are pretty good for that to
quick
happen.
Quick question on marketing for you. What do you feel like is more important if at the end of April in this third season, and we're talking about Markkanen, would you rather see significant improvement on the defensive side of the ball and his numbers stay about where they were at last season? I think 18 and 7 was his numbers and shooting somewhere around 42 or 45% from the field. Would you rather see that significantly improve and take a huge jump, kind of like Kristaps did in his third year, but the defense kind of stayed about the same? Or would you rather see a significant improvement on defense and the numbers kind of stay the same? Where would you rather see that in April?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I hadn't really thought about that. My gut is to say that he's still young enough that the defensive improvement can come along. And even if he takes small steps to improve his defensive skills this coming season, I still feel good about Wendell developing into such a defensive stopper. I feel really good about Thad Young and the contributions that his addition to this team are going to bring on the defensive end. You know, we added Luke Kornet, who knows how regularly he'll sniff the rotation, but he has proven to be a pretty consistent, reliable shot blocker. His time in the league, I want nothing more than to see Markkanen turn into one of the most dominant scorers in the league this season. That's what I want.
That'd be cool. I would love that too. I think I wouldn't be disappointed though if the defense has improved there and the numbers kind of stayed the same, because
I wouldn't be disappointed in that for sure. I think, you know, if the preference is there, give me, you know, 30 points a night, Markkanen.
Agreed.
God, I would love that.
I think the good thing would be for Markkanen's defense if he can somehow improve that to the point where you don't have to worry at all when he's on the floor in late games. Like, late game situations where you might need a defensive stop, I would want Markkanen to be able to be on the floor as opposed to having to switch out and bring Thaddeus Young off the bench for a possession or two. I want Markkanen, it may not even be just this season, I want Markkanen to be at a point, though, in the next couple of years, to be able to stay on the floor in close games and not have to think of him as a defensive liability, because we already have one in the starting right. lineup,
and especially in matchup late game matchup scenarios where your best five involves asking Markkanen to play the
agreed,
five. And that's that's the big what if and what's going to happen when it comes to Markkanen and his develop on the defensive end. Because we keep hearing about how the Bulls are really, yes, they have Wendell and they love Wendell and they're high on Wendell, but for certain lineups and for certain scenarios and matchups given their opponent on a nightly basis, they really are looking, gearing towards playing Markkanen more at the five. But on the defensive end is where that could be a real
The last
concern.
Thing I have from a quote from Markkanen, and I like this too, is he says one of the biggest challenges in the NBA is how to keep the same level of energy night after night. He said that's what I try to focus on a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot during the summer, how I could keep the same quality of play every single day. He also says you need to make sure that you are able to do it every single day. The best basketball players in the world play in the NBA. He said if you provide a handicap not working properly, it might be difficult. I think what that means is, and the translation again isn't 100%. I think what he means is if you have an off night, it can become very difficult to not only stay healthy, but to stay consistent. And I think that's huge too. We talked about Markkanen a lot where he'd drop 25 or 26 in a game and then turn around the next night and he'd go 0 for 6 from 3, have probably 12 or 15 points, and kind of look like a ghost at times out there. And maybe that's due to some of the offensive things too as well, but I like that he's conscious about that, is playing consistently on a night in and a night out basis, and that's something he really wants to focus on. So I love hearing that as well.
Yeah, especially because it did seem like Markkanen hit the proverbial rookie wall a couple of different times in each of his first two seasons, where he just kind of like had a stretch of three games or five games, or it's in some cases, in one special case, particular case I remember, like somewhere between like 11 and 15 games, where like his shooting fell off a cliff, and you're like, what's wrong with Lowry? And clearly, I think those comments shed some light to that, that maybe it did take him, and it's different for every NBA player compared to how much do they play AAU ball, how much college basketball do they play, and all that kind of stuff, and just how good a shape they are. But clearly Markkanen was not fully prepared for an 82 game NBA season, and that's something he's still adjusting to.
The whole building up muscle and mass and just getting bigger overall that he did last year, a lot of that was wasted because of the injury that he had, and he wasn't able to work out the same for the first 3 months of the season. And he said even when he came back, he wasn't able to work out the way he wanted to in the summer, and felt like he lost a lot of that muscle that he had gained throughout the offseason. So hopefully he comes back when we see him in training camp for the first time, he's a little bit bigger, back to what we thought he was going to be last year. And I think that provides probably a pretty good look into what happens when guys get injured. Like, it's not just when you snap your fingers and they come back, they're the same player that they were. So having him fully healthy again, knock on wood, nothing happens, but having him fully healthy again for this third season, I think things are going to be a lot easier for Markkanen than they were maybe in his second year.
I think so too. These players, as they go from being essentially adolescents and very young men to men who have been around the league for a while and have a chance to operate and adjust their internal biological clocks and adjust to the schedule, adjust to all of the flight travel that we were just talking about a second ago. It's a lot to get a grasp of. And even it makes me think of Wendell Carter Jr.'s comments recently when he was talking at like some rookie expo event. It was like, I think it was like maybe like the rookie photo shoot that happened a week ago. And he was one of a couple of players giving advice to the incoming rookie class about just what it takes to live a healthy life with all of this basketball and all this travel that you're asked to do. So clearly, it's not easy for anyone to make the transition, but hopefully now that we're getting into year three for Lowry Markkanen, he feels confident in his system, the way he does things.
With you. I'm very excited for this third year for Lauri Markkanen. Same thing with Carter. I'm very excited to see what a full second year is going to bring for him and getting those guys to play together a lot this year. I want to see a lot of minutes from those two dudes playing alongside each other, because then we'll really have an idea of what that front court really looks like and what maybe the potential is a couple of years down the road. So very excited for things to kick off here in the next few weeks. Probably a little over a month till media day and training camp starts, but we're getting closer and closer, man. The end of August here, we'll have some FIBA World Cup games for the first 2 weeks, and then we'll just have a little bit of a break, and then we'll have media day at the back end of September. So we're getting close and getting very excited talking about
39 days.
Getting very, very excited, away, very excited for NBA basketball to start.
Can you tell that I'm counting? It's only 39 days till media day. Let's go.
But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails. You want to touch on this Lauri Markkanen stuff or anything else you've got surrounding this Bulls team. You guys want to talk about hypotheticals as well. Maybe it's a little bit of an NBA conversation instead of a Bulls conversation. We'll take those as well. So drop any of your thoughts at 331-979-1369. You can always hit us up on Twitter as well, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls. That's iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, we are sure to be there. So make sure you're subscribed to our show so you get our episodes as soon as they drop. If you want to leave us a review as well, we would absolutely love that from you. So if you like what we're doing here, you love listening to the show, a simple review on any of those platforms helps us help you guys. So thank you again for listening all offseason long. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
It's a timeless game.
I love timelessness. You're timeless.
Well,
I've been dead for quite a few years.
And we all may be by the end of the night. The music playing means we are actually out of pound sand.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com